I appreciate the opportunity we had last week, Barbara and I, to go to North Dakota and to be with a church that we served on our last deployment. They were celebrating their 125th anniversary. So we had a good time and with some friends. There it was, I heard, and I'm not sure they were talking to me, but I heard these words: "Each sermon you preach is better than the next one." Think about that just a second. Each sermon you preach is better than the next one. My mother's favorite verse is in the passage found in the text this morning. A very familiar verse, probably. Verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40. And that is our focus this morning. This is the third in a renew following our theme for the year. And it won't be the last, but we will be starting another series coming next Sunday in the book of Acts. I want to read a portion of this, and I want to go back to verse 21 and read through the rest of this chapter. There are some other insights before this that we can dig in at another time, but I want to start at verse 21. This is Isaiah 40, starting at verse 31 and reading through verse 31. Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, he who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Two times this question is in this passage that we have read. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Verses 21 and 28. Do you not know? This really means, doesn't everyone know this? Doesn't everyone already know this? As if they were acting as if they didn't know, but they did know. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He who sits above the horizon of the earth. talking about God and his great abilities and how he sees things and his perspective. And the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. It's almost as if he doesn't think much of them. It's almost like he doesn't really see that they really are in comparison to him a plague. He stretches out heaven. He stretches out the sky like a curtain, like a tent to dwell in. God does this. He reduces rulers to nothing and makes judges meaningless. Well, so much for godless wisdom then. God is doing this. The systems of man gets destroyed by God's work, as is stated, indicated in the passage. And then there's this other idea. This is all the things that God does, as we have seen in verse 21 and so on. And then also, to whom will you compare me? That's in this passage twice too. If you go back to verse 18, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare with him? Who are you going to compare with God? There is nothing that even fits. To whom will you compare me that I should be equal to him? God named the stars. We're still discovering new galaxies. And yet he has numbered all the stars and he has called them by name. By God's great might and strength of his power, they are all sustained and they're all accounted for, according to the passage. So how can we say that God doesn't see or God doesn't care? Well, there is a double-edged blade here with how can you say that God doesn't see? Well, he does see. And sometimes that's intimidating, isn't it? Sometimes that's that he knowing and seeing us the way we really are, that we just as soon he not do that. Because he has to deal with us in that way. He has to correct. And yet, we're not alone. In a life that we desire to serve the Lord, we are not alone in that life. He sees us. He cares about us. And so in one sense, his seeing us and knowing us for who we are is intimidating. And we don't necessarily like that because, well, we don't want him to take note of all of that. I mean, if he can call all the stars by name, which he does, how he can identify all of these things, of all of the, 9 billion people on the planet now, plus the ones who lived before. He can see all of that, and he knows it all. Even the stuff we'd really rather he didn't know. If we could just keep it a secret from him, apparently we get the idea that it'd be okay. And it isn't, of course. And it isn't as if he hasn't taken care of the issue of our own sins, of our own thoughts, of all of these things that we transgress and all of these things that happen to us, our deviations, our drifting and our willfulness and our rebellion and all of that. He sees all of that, but he also cares. He sees it and he cares. So he has provided a means by which we can be forgiven. And that means is by his grace through the Lord Jesus. The sacrifice of all of our sin is taken upon himself when he hung on the cross, when he died the death of all of us in our place on the cross. We might ask, doesn't everybody know this? Don't we all know this? Haven't we heard this? Do we not know? Sometimes we can know this and not respond to it properly. And the burden, of course, is, yeah, it can be known. God has revealed it. And He has initiated the remedy for us. And it doesn't do us any good to think that he will ignore us when it comes time for the punishment. He has not ignored it. He took it. And so we may be free from that punishment. And then the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, does not get tired or weary. His understanding is, well, inscrutable. It means beyond our comprehension. No way we can interpret this. His understanding goes far beyond our ability to understand or to interpret. Then he comes with this fantastic blessing in this. He gives strength to the weary. He doesn't have weariness. We all do. He gives strength to the weary. The one who lacks might, he increases power to the one who is lacking. Even though youths, probably the ones that have the greatest stamina and strength, are the younger ones. I don't really challenge them much anymore, because there is the possibility that they can run faster or lift more weight. And they don't choose me for their teams anymore either. It's the young that has this physical dynamism, this power, this ability, this strength. But even youths grow tired and weary, according to the text. Young men stumble badly and fall. They're not immune from the limitations that we have as human beings. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Two words in here that are really interesting in this verse. Why wait? Our culture doesn't like to wait. We want what we want, and we want it right now. What does this word actually mean? Kava is the word. Kava. It's to tarry. It is to wait. It is to have an ongoing expectation that is worth the time involved. It actually means to wait. Now, to me, this says there's some intentionality to this. As we're waiting, we are understanding that He is the only source of what we need here, this strength. God is the only possible source of this. And it's His will that we are granted it. And so, even though there's a great promise here, we do it on His terms. We're not saying, Lord, 10 minutes, I got to have this because I got an appointment. No. Wait. Wait expectantly. And I find this next word, renew, has a really interesting nuance, because it is kalaf, is the Hebrew term for this. And it means exchange, change, something instead of, something that has passed on. He will exchange their strength. A strength exchange. Now, this could be a tremendous help for us, because we know we all fail, even in our greatest moments, even as youth. I mean, we can do all of these things and stuff. We got to do more than just what we're able to do, of course. But here now we have these weaknesses and we have these frailties and we have these inhibitions and we have these arrogances and all of these things that make us up as to who we are. And now, even the best of us, even the young of us, will get weary and we'll get tired and we'll stumble badly and we will fall. But, however, those who wait expectantly for the Lord, those who are relying on Him, rather than expecting somehow that God will make us what we want to be, what we wait expectantly for God to produce Himself in us in our experience, then the exchange takes place. We're exchanging, what we are receiving is His strength. What we're exchanging is our weakness. And of course, compared to Him, twice in this passage it says, well, who are you going to compare me to? Anything you do, anything you compare to, anything in all creation that you compare me to is going to fall flat because I exceed all of that. I am the Creator, not the creation. And so, what do we compare God to? There is no comparison with anything else. But what do we have? Take a look at the first part of this chapter, before verse 21. And there's a whole list of things that perish. The flowers in the field, they wither and they die. And what God does, He measures all the water of the earth in the hollow of His hand. I mean, He's great. He's all of these wonderful things. In fact, He says, the nations of the earth are a drop in a bucket. And I suggest that they're bad to the last drop. We're regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Now, I want to explain this one. If you were a chemist or in science classes, in advanced science classes in high school, there was probably a special scale in your school that was in a container of its own. Very, very delicate. And that would weigh things that really, really light. God has seized, this is the idea here. There is a scale, and this is so sensitive that when you are balancing something, you're weighing something out, a speck of dust on one side would ruin the whole weight. So He does, with a like a finger, flips the speck of dust off the scales, and then proceeds to weigh this thing so it's absolutely accurate. Just a speck of dust. And that, the nations of the earth are the speck of dust that He flips away so that He can weigh things properly. It's in here. It's in verse 15. Other things in here talk about how great God is. And we talked about His abilities in songs today. But these great things that... So... incomparable. Even though we bear the image of God in a sense, there is no comparison with God. And yet we have access to Him. This is mind-blowing because we all fail. We are all tired. We all get weary. We all sin. We have a nature of sin and we are arrogant and we have all of these things that we are dealing with. And God is perfect. No limit to His ability as He chooses. So what does He provide in this passage? He provides strength, such as eagle power, to be able to soar above all the calamities on the earth, such as was said earlier in Scripture about how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, their slavery, and gave and delivered them into the promised land. It was, he led them forth as on eagle's wings. This is the capabilities of God. There's no fatigue in him. And the strength that he provides when he grants this and when we are renewed by it, they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So what are we trading to get get this God-infused abilities in our own life? Weariness, verse 29. Whatever we lack, verse 29. Limitations, 26. Faulty perspectives, verse 25. Human wisdom, verse 23. And human ability, verse 23. These are some of these things that that we can exchange for divine strength turned loose in our own life. It's amazing. Is it worth the wait? Is it worth the submission? Is it worth it coming to Him on God's terms instead of our own? Is it worth adjusting our life in order to fulfill that strength that He gives? Because changes will have to be made. But there is an exchange of our lack of strength for His possession of strength. His strength. In other words, it's like exchanging our failure for His omnipotence to do His will. By the way, if you have one of the small group sheets that was in your mailbox today, turn it over and write that one down. Our failure may be exchanged for His omnipotence in our life. And then this question comes back. Doesn't everybody know this? Don't we know this already? So what's the problem? Why don't we see this? Why is it not obvious? Perhaps we have not waited on the Lord for it. Perhaps we're trying to manufacture it ourselves. Or perhaps we feel like, oh, we've already got that. Look how great I am. But how do we really take advantage of this? How do we really do this? How do we exchange this strength for strength, or actually collapse for strength? Wait on the Lord, for only He can fulfill the exchange. We tell the Lord what we want, and we give up what we lack. Now that is a winning combination. But for our own self-sufficiency, it would be easy. We tell the Lord what we want to give up our own self-sufficiency, our weariness, our inadequacies, our influence, our power, our arrogance, all these things. Even if the power is enough to raise us up to be as powerful as a nation in the world, remember, it's a nation that's a drop in the bucket and the dust on the scales. As much influence as we may have, it's nothing. Tell the Lord you want to live by on His terms and serve with His power. Can you actually do that? Doesn't everyone know this? Haven't we heard this before? wait on the Lord for what only He can do, and then thank Him for His promise. He'll change our self-sufficiency into a submissive service. Think of Bible characters that He did this. Think of Daniel. You think he would have survived the lion's den if he was all about his self-sufficiency? How about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Would they have lived through the fiery furnace if they had gone with their own strength? All of these characters, in fact, get a chance, read Hebrews 11 and see this list of all of these characters who were able to apply this principle to their life. This will change how we decide things. This will change what our priorities are. This will change our relationships. This will change our expectations. It'll change our expressions. It will change our planning. It will change our affections. It will change our worship. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it'll change everything. We will be new creations in Christ Jesus. The old will be gone, the new will have arrived. What would happen among us if all of us made this exchange? We'll get a little glimpse of this as we study the book of Acts. And wasn't it Jesus who, as He ascended up into heaven, said, wait, wait. Wait for the promise that I gave you, that the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you as believers, and you will be infused with the very power of God Himself as you live your life in this earth. That's the prospect we're looking at. What would happen among us if all of us made this exchange purposely, intentionally? But what would happen among us if one of us did not? I don't really know. It's likely we'd see some conflict. It's likely we would have difficulties discerning what God wants and what we simply have to have right now. The challenge for us today is exchange. What can possibly be lost except your own will, except our own arrogance? I said your will, didn't I? I mean our will, each of us. What will we gain? The realization of God's purpose for our life. Not only here, but forever. I would suggest that we do tell the Lord what we want to give up that we lack. Tell the Lord our weakness, what we want Him to, this exchange, what we want to exchange for His great abilities. And to thank Him for the promise that He's given to us here. Please pray with me. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the salvation that we have acknowledged through communion today and the terms by which You have offered it to us. We're thankful, Lord, for this great promise that while we are weak and weary and falling, that can be exchanged for the strength that is in You, that You can infuse us with Your own power through this transaction, through this exchange. And I pray, Lord, that You would renew us in this way. Open our hearts to this and fill us completely with it as we submit to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.